So tonight's reading is from Matthew chapter 10, from verses 16 through to 23. So that's Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 23. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak, or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and the children will rise against the parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in the one town, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes.
Let's once again ask God's blessing on his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in the Gospels we can, as it were, walk those same steps that the disciples did. We can be amazed at how it must have been to be following Jesus in person. But thank you, Father, that something just as wonderful has fallen to us in this gospel age, where we have your Holy Spirit and we're following Jesus in very much the same way as those first disciples. But we thank you for all that you've revealed to us, all that we can learn. So please teach us your way now this evening, and please keep us looking unto Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Amen. So do have in front of you the passage that Isaac read to us from Matthew chapter 10. Oh, thank you. A bit of technology always helps with thinking this evening about tough times. Tough times. That might be an understatement when we look at this passage together. Jesus said to his disciples, he sent them out on a mission to preach about the kingdom of God. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And humanly speaking, that doesn't sound like it doesn't sound like fun, shall we say. It doesn't sound like something easy. It doesn't even sound like something possible. It sounds like mission impossible. Let me share something that some of you may be aware of if you follow the Christian Institute or Christian News. Retired pastor Clive Johnson has opened up about why he is being prosecuted for preaching in an abortion censorship zone in Northern Ireland. On the 7th of July 2024, he was preaching on John 3:16, famous verse from the Bible, on the opposite side of a dual carriageway from Coleraine's Causeway Hospital. But Clive's preaching at that point was curtailed by the police, despite having kept them informed in advance of their plans. He said, we felt we were a bit overwhelmed by the fact that we had a number of police cars going up and down past us all the time, and then a number of police got out of their cars and they stood there, obviously listening and filming what we were doing. There were three of them that walked across the street and stood in front of us before Inspector O'Brien interrupted and politely asked us to stop. He said that he did believe, after I refused to move, that I'd broken the law on the safe zones. I couldn't understand this, but I was cautioned and then told to leave. He's a grandfather of seven, is Clive Johnson. He's never been in trouble with the police, but he faces a criminal record and potential fines totalling thousands of pounds if he's convicted. He's a man who was seeking to operate within the law of the land and seeking to maintain Christian freedom and seeking to preach the gospel. That's all that he was doing. He said to preach outside of a church building is just an extension of the freedom that we enjoy to preach inside the building. We believe with all of our hearts that there should be no no-go areas for the gospel. Judgment in Pastor Clive's case has been deferred while District Judge Peter King receives additional written submissions from lawyers on both sides. Another court hearing has been scheduled for March. So there is a brother in Christ that is seeking to stand very gently but very firmly for gospel freedom and preaching the gospel. He didn't mention abortion in his message. He was just preaching the gospel in a place where he believes that he was allowed to stand. And that court case, as we heard, is ongoing. Tough times. And that's not unusual in the history and geography of Christianity. It's something that should not surprise us. Something that Jesus wants us to be prepared for. Many years ago, a Romanian pastor who was seeking to serve his people in the days of communism, when it was very difficult to be a Christian, and especially to be a Christian leader, and especially a Christian leader that stuck his head above the parapets. And he said people would ask him, you know, what chance of success do you have in communist Romania? And he just answered, well, that's a typically Western question. Chance of success. Jesus doesn't talk about success. He talks about, I'm sending you, and this is the deal. So maybe Western thinking can be challenged by thinking from Christians in other parts of the world. We do need a theology of suffering, a theology of facing opposition for being a Christian. John Bunyan, in his famous book Pilgrim's Progress, speaks of the hill of difficulty. Just one of many pictures which just shows that the Christian life has tough times in it. Christ often leads his people into trouble. To be sure, sometimes we get ourselves into trouble for things that we should be ashamed of. But there's plenty of times where, just like the pastor we spoke of, you can get yourself into trouble because you were following the Lord Jesus, because you took your marching orders from him. So let's have a think about how Jesus leads his people through tough times. Well, think about this mission that Jesus sends his disciples out onto. Jesus is our captain. Now, conscious that the context of this is Jesus sending his disciples out, and this was preaching the kingdom of God before Jesus had gone to the cross, before he'd been raised from the dead. So there was something very significant that Jesus was going to do that his disciples didn't know or understand at that point. So that's... In that sense, we stand in a different context from the disciples. But nevertheless, our relationship with Jesus is very much the same as theirs. And we can learn many principles from what we see here. So Jesus is our captain. He sends us. He sends his people out. And that's what we see in verse 16. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. It's important to remember that a Christian is not a free agent. You know, there's that famous song, It's My Life. Well, a Christian can't sing that. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price, as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So, in a real sense, we report to Christ as our commanding officer, if I can reverently put it that way. Jesus is the one who sends his people, and he has given his people marching orders. But he does prepare his people. At the same time, he sends us and he prepares us. He says, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Interesting, we've already had two animal pictures, the sheep and the wolves. Here's two more. Wise as serpents. We know the cunning serpent from Genesis 3. Obviously, that's a very negative picture of cunning and evil wisdom. But nevertheless, a serpent seems to be proverbial here for being wise. You know, not being caught out, not being uninformed about the way that the world is. It's wonderful to see that God prepares his people by giving us wisdom. There are wisdom books in the Bible. Let me recommend a regular reading of the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about people and all the different funny ways that people have. And it really does help us to be wise in this world with godly wisdom. So be wise, he says, as serpents, but also and innocent as doves. We're not to be those who are sort of cunning and crafty. We're trying to be absolutely clear about who we are and about who Jesus is. So that wisdom, that wise as serpents, is contrasted with being innocent as doves. In Song of Solomon 5:2, the bridegroom talks about his bride and says, my dove, my perfect one. So this idea of holiness, of goodness, of righteousness, coupled with wisdom. Christians are not to be taken for granted, not to be uninformed, but nevertheless living a holy and a godly life. And I think the example of Pastor Clive illustrates that. Wise as serpents, but innocent as doves. He warns us as well. He warns his disciples to beware of what people might do. And we'll think more about that in a moment from verses 17 and 18. And also in verse 21, it says, brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. Christians are not always in situations like this. But if you were to speak to a Christian from the Muslim world, for example, they would say, I know of situations like this, where being a Christian is a matter of life and death, and it can split families apart. Jesus warns his disciples of these realities. He warns his people, but he comforts his disciples. He comforts us as well. Verse 19, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. We are in a fallen world. Human opposition to God's people is powerful. But God is with his people. Christ is with his people. At the end of Matthew's gospel, he will say, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He comforts his people. Jesus is not sending his people out and then sort of forgetting about them. He's with them. And now we know that he is with his people by his Spirit. And he motivates us. Verses 22 and 23. It says in verse 22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. It's very realistic there. But he says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. There's so much that we could say about those verses. And it gets us into an area that we call eschatology, which talks about the last things. When we get as far as Matthew 24, we'll be able to look at that in more detail. But I think the sense that he gives to his people here is, never give up. There is a mission that I'm giving to you, and it is of a limited duration. There will be an end point. Ultimately, that end point is when the Son of Man comes at the second coming. And I think Jesus is referring to that final time there. But of course, as he speaks to his disciples, many other things need to happen. But he motivates them. I'll be with you, and there will be an end to that mission. And there's such an urgency to go through the towns to preach the message. As I say, there's much more that could be said about that. And there are many different views. Once we can talk about future things, there are different views. But I think that's the sense. Don't give up. There is a mission and it's got an end. And that's when Christ will come for his people. So that's an initial look at the passage. But I want to go back over it with some other scriptures to compare. As we think about this theology of suffering and following Christ in the midst of opposition. So let's have another go through now as we think of this, that Jesus calls you and me to come and die. To die to self, to die to an easy life. We might find ourselves asking, is the Christian life really so brutal? We have joy and peace in believing. There is so much that is wonderful about being a Christian. But we must never forget that we're on a battleground. I defy you to read any one of the 66 books of the Bible and find one that does not contain any warnings. There are warnings everywhere in Scripture. We are on a battleground. A classic expression for a Christian is that we're up against the world, the flesh, and the devil. There are temptations. There are things that we bring upon ourselves. We battle with our own sinful nature at times. And we certainly face opposition from the world. We are in a battleground, and we find that everywhere in Scripture. In many ways, we want to say, thank you, God, for saving me from an unrealistic view of the Christian life. Now, help me to see that times can be tough. Jesus calls us to die to self and to die to our version of an easy life if we're followers of him. 1 Corinthians 10:12, let the one who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. It's wise to take heed and to be aware of the dangers. So Jesus says to his disciples, you need to face the wolves. Now, that sounds like a scary prospect for a sheep. A little bit of colour that we can add to that. The Apostle Paul, when he's speaking to the Ephesian elders, warns them in a similar way. And this is what he says to them in Acts 20 and verse 29. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. So certainly in Paul's use of this idea of wolves in the midst of sheep, it's the idea of false teachers, the danger of false teaching. But Christ's disciples are called to stand up for what is true and preach that. And that is the way to face the wolves, so to speak. Jesus calls his people to face the courts at times. Again, as our example of the pastor in Northern Ireland shows us so clearly. Christians have to face the reality of human disapproval, social disapproval, sometimes even legal disapproval if the goalpost shifts and to be a faithful Christian becomes outlawed. This is what Christ calls his people to face. There are examples in the book of Acts of believers facing the courts. Peter and John in the early chapters of Acts face the religious courts of the Jews, and have to give a reason for the hope that they have. The Apostle Paul in Acts 26 stands up before King Agrippa and he makes his defence, but he stood there in chains simply because he is a Christian. He appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar he had to go. But there was nothing else that he was doing wrong. They admitted that in the courts. Just his faith in Christ. That's the only reason he was in chains. Jesus calls us to face our families. If our families don't share our faith. And Jesus himself faced this himself. It says in Mark 3 verse 20. Then he went home and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he is out of his mind. So this is Jesus' own family saying of Jesus, he is out of his mind. There was a stage at which his own family didn't believe in him. So Jesus is calling his people to face difficulties that he himself faced in his own life. And he calls his people to face a hostile world. It's not a nice thought to think of being hated. It's not nice to be opposed. It's not nice to have people write things about you that are unkind and possibly untrue. But Jesus calls his people to face a hostile world. Tough times. And yet these words are words of encouragement. Jesus gives these words to his disciples to encourage them in their mission. Not to put them off, but to encourage them. And so I believe that we should take these words from the Lord Jesus in an encouraging way. Because our third and final point is that Jesus makes the mission possible. You know, it sounded impossible. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. It sounds like Mission Impossible. It sounds like it's going to last 2 minutes and it'll be all over. But Jesus' mission is still going on. Jesus' people are like sheep, and they do face wolves, figuratively speaking. And yet the church has not died. It's continued to spread as Jesus said it would. It's continued to go from nation to nation. More and more people groups hearing the gospel, reading of Christ, hearing of Christ, trusting in Christ. It looks like Mission Impossible, but Jesus makes the mission possible. It's only because of him. He's the only explanation. Humanly speaking, the church should have failed, but it hasn't. It's kept on growing. That's because the Lord Jesus himself is with his people by his Spirit. He guides and provides. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I won't lack anything. Even though it can look impossible at times. And yet, if the Lord is with his people, and he is, then they have nothing to fear. And they lack nothing that they need. His presence is with his people. Jesus makes the mission possible. He empowers his people for witness. We thought about that this morning. The Holy Spirit speaking through his people, empowering them for mission. And so we know that God is able to speak through his people as we speak faithfully according to his word. His power is at work in the witness of his people. He gives us joyful tears. This is from John's Gospel. Jesus, the night before he dies, speaks again of the difficulties that his disciples will face. But this is what he says to them. John 16:33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. You'll have trouble. You'll have difficulty. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. You see, Jesus makes the mission possible. If there are tears, they are ultimately joyful tears. This isn't hopeless. This is what Jesus said. How Jesus said it would be. His word will not fail. Isaiah 55, verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Some of you have sowed gospel seeds in your family, or at Sunday school, or in various other ministries, and you don't see the results straight away. But Jesus says God's word is like a seed, and it will fall on different kinds of ground, but some of that seed will fall in good ground, and people will trust in Christ, and they will be saved. You might see it happen. It might happen when you don't see it. It might happen after your time. But God is faithful. His word accomplishes that which he purposes. It won't fail. And lastly, the cross of Jesus is our victory cry. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, you know, this message of the cross, it seems like foolishness, but God's foolishness is wiser than man's wisdom. Yeah, people might think it's foolish, but it's powerful, it's mighty through God. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Jesus makes the mission possible. Now, as I say, our context in some ways is different from the context of Jesus' first disciples, but the principles hold good. He sends his people out into this world as sheep in the midst of wolves. It looks hopeless. At times, if you're a Christian, it can feel hopeless, but it's not hopeless. It means to be rooted in God's promises, looking to Jesus, and remembering the witness of the scriptures that we've seen this evening. Yes, times may be tough. We should pray for pastors like the one that we mentioned at the start, Clive, and for others like him. Things are changing in our society. But Jesus says, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. His cross is our victory cry. We don't fight as the world fights. We fight with prayer and love and encouragement and truth. These are the weapons that we use. His cross is our victory cry. We simply want to point to him and trust in him and look forward to the day when we will see him and pray to that end. Let's pray now.